Dora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Lightfoot, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 49th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey, as he has been for the other 48 chapters, is TFG1 Mike. Hello. The class obviously is on this side of the mic, folks.
Whatever.
Anyways, how's it been going, sir?
It's going. I don't know. I'm just, God.
That good, huh?
It's not even this time of year now. I mean, obviously, with my mom passing, this will be the first holiday season. And I think I said this back in 47 or 48, I forget. But it's one of those things where even if we were living apart, I could always call her. Obviously, I can't do that now.
Right.
Not without some really good smelling salts. But but it's just one of those things where I'm just like, I'm excited to do this show. I'm excited to do a couple of the other podcasts that I'm doing. But it's like, I have so much written stuff that I need to do. And I just, there are just some mornings I wake up and I just don't want to do nothing. And it just sucks so bad. That's what's essentially going on with me. But we have more She-Ra to get into, don't we?
We do. In this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 10, The Peril of Whispering Woods, episode 11, The Laughing Dragon, and episode 12, King Miro's Journey. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
From the peasants of Mandeville.
I see. And it takes an army of Horde troopers to protect it?
One cannot be too careful. We are passing near the Whispering Woods, home of the so-called rebels.
My father, Horde Prime, has spoken of this rebellion. He thinks you should have taken care of the rebels long ago.
Well, my prince, they pose no real threat to the power of the Horde. Proceed!
All right, we start today with episode 10, The Peril of Whispering Woods. Air date of September 20th, 1985. Written by Francis Moss. Shadow Weaver discovers an ancient potion that can kill the plants in Whispering Woods. And counter...
So she... figures out how to make weed killer.
Don't ever interrupt me in a plot synopsis again. And counter the magic that keeps the Horde out. However, on one of the raids of the Rebels' camp, Horde Prime's son, Prince Zed, is taken hostage and realizes just how badly the Horde treats people. He forces Hordak to stop the destruction of the woods on account of his father's wrath. The Horde members, we have Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, Scorpia, and Horde Troopers. In the members of the Rebellion, we have She-Ra, Glimmer, Bo, Madam Raz, Cowl, Sprocker, Sprag, and Spratina. I'm just going to call them the Twiggets from now on. Broom, and of course, Spirit or Swiftwind, however you want to call them. And then the other characters, we have Prince Zed as the notable here. First off, the idea that there is a magic that is keeping the Horde out of the Whispering Woods, a power of the Whispering Woods, the fact that Shadow Weaver has concocted some way to counteract that magic, and the idea of Horde Prime. That's the first time I believe his name has been mentioned, unless his name was mentioned in the five-parter.
It was not.
So it's the first time we've heard of a Horde Prime. It's also the first time we've heard of what they make seem as someone that is above Hordak. And then also the introduction, of course, to Horde Prime's son, Prince Zed. What do you think of the whole setup here for Peril of Whispering Woods?
It's... The plot is nothing but an insecticide episode. It's like a plant killer episode. It's like, where's Poison Ivy? When's she going to show up to stop this madness?
I mean, I think it has a little more.
It's a combination of... Because
you also have the Horde Prime his son. You also have the idea that it's not just killing the Whispering Woods, it's killing the Twiggets.
I mean, there is that, but you know, now that I'm thinking of it, I'm like, Hordak is essentially the sheriff. Prince Zed is Prince John, except he doesn't suck his thumb and want his mommy. And the Whispering Woods is Sherwood Forest. That's...
Yeah, I have some Robin Hood notes in my notes as well, just because of the whole magic of the Whispering Woods and kind of the same idea of Sherwood Forest. But I like the plot in this one. I like the setup. I like the idea that there's a hierarchy in this in the evil world here, that there's someone that Hordak actually has to answer to. That's an interesting thing that I never realized. I always thought Hordak was the end-all, be-all. I thought he was even an outranking Skeletor, so I never pictured anybody above him.
Well, yeah, he does outrank Skeletor,
right?
Because he was the... But, yeah, I've always... we said last week that we don't remember half the stuff that happened in this show. I've always known about the Horde Prime character because I just have. And I've always known there has always been someone above Hordak. They don't often... Like the first six... No, not six. The last four episodes last week, you know, no mention of anything,
right?
And now they're getting to the point where it's world building, it's setting up this whole thing that's going to eventually be something that happens throughout the rest of the series, which I like that they're setting it up here.
You know way too much of this series than you should. you should have not been watching this series on TV as we were going through He-Man. But
I only watched a couple of episodes. It's not like I watched the whole thing. And I saw the damn Seahawk episode like six different damn times.
I also like the fact that we do have a child in this episode, but that the child is not just a child. And it's not just... then it starts off inherently evil because it is the son of Horde Prime. Mm-hmm. I like that connection and that the bad guys are actually taking care of this kid. It's not someone that... is good that the bad guys kidnap or take hostage. It's not the, you know, She-Ra's cousin or nephew or something like we saw with the different people in the royal family, etc. So I like the different angle of the child as well. So I mean, I was on board for the way this was set up.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's get into what we really liked and disliked on this episode as we make our way to the Whispering Woods for the first time today.
This vile Whispering Woods.
Ah! what, sire?
The way to put an end to the Great Rebellion, once and for all.
Behold, the poison of Kandahar. The formula is from this ancient book, which I have only recently acquired.
How do you know it will work?
Watch! These are plants from the Whispering Woods. They are protected by the powerful magic of the rebels.
If we cannot take the rebels from the woods,
we will take the woods from the rebels.
All right, we find ourselves in the Whispering Woods before Shadow Weaver has concocted her spell and sprayed insecticide all over it. So it's still looking good, and because it's looking good, we're going to talk about good things. So what do you have for this episode, Mike?
I'm going to break everyone's brain, including Kevin's, and say I kind of like the prince when he's giving Hordak the what for.
I think it separates him from most of the other kids we've seen in Eternia.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the few that we've seen in Etheria so far.
Yeah. And then there was the 20-car pileup.
Yeah, you don't necessarily expect to see a traffic accident in Etheria. But it happened.
I find it funny that Hordak's plan is just simply poison. You know, I just find that hilarious.
Well, it's not necessarily poison. It's something that's going to somehow combat the magic so they can actually get to the Whispering Woods and stop the rebellion instead of allowing them to hide out.
It's still poison because it still kills the plants.
Right, but that's not his game plan. Isn't I'm going to poison the plants to kill them. It's I'm going to do this to get past the magic so I can get to these people.
Later on in the episode, Shira's deflection makes Hordak's air vehicle do a spin-a-rooney. Booker T ought to sue.
Second wrestling reference I've heard out of you today.
Wow, Horde Prime's son is a good guy. Who knew?
Yeah, I think he would have some questions coming his way that he would have to answer on the return of this mission. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you got?
Just the whole thing there. My father, Horde Prime, when he says that, you're like, whoa, this kid's not just a kid. This kid's got some pull here. He's got some connections. I like the fact that She-Ra made the grain maze with the dead ends to kind of throw the cars off. I like Catra's transformations. I don't know if I mentioned that last episode or two episodes ago, but I do actually like when she turns into the cat. I think that's done well. I like the magic idea of the magic surrounding Whispering Woods, kind of like Sherwood Forest. I like that there's that aura there that it's kind of a woods that you don't necessarily go into because it'll play tricks with you, like the Horde troopers find out. Shadow.
That was just awesome.
Yeah, it was a good plot line. Shadow Weaver. I thought just her appearance in this episode, her power, kind of a reintroduction to her, because even though we saw her in the five-parter, we haven't really seen her much since then. So I thought that was good. I forgot to mention this again in one of the other episodes. I talk about the voices a lot the first times we see characters, and I actually really do like Madame Raz's voice and the way that that character is played. I think it's an interesting way, and I really like the way that the voice is disguised from how we typically hear all the rest of the voices done by the voice actress that does Madame Raz, which is Linda Gary, if you guys don't know that. So I like how she transforms it for that. I like the story overall. And again, I like when the Horde troopers have troubles. So it adds an element to the Horde troopers that is a little different, because it's almost as if they're not just robots. They actually do have some individuality and some desire to do things and to act on their own. So I kind of like that. As far, go ahead.
What I've noticed with the Horde Troopers is it's wishy-washy. Sometimes when we see them, at least in these first, 10 episodes, 9 episodes, whatever, sometimes they're robots, sometimes they have, like we were saying last time, not last time, but two episodes ago, when we were breaking down the differences between them, what was the movie and what was the five-parter that aired on TV, you know, you brought up that trivia fact about they weren't sure whether they were going to make them human, in suits or if they're going to make them full-on robots. And I think at this point, we're still seeing that they're still not friggin' sure.
Right. I think that starts a pattern, though, that we're going to get to see even more in a future episode today when we get to King Miro's journey, though, that kind of shows some individuality from them. We'll have to see if that continues, but they really highlight it in a couple episodes later.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the poison is starting to fall on the Whispering Woods, so let's get out of here and get over to Fright Zone. What didn't you like about this episode?
I don't know what's worse, sitting in a poisoned Whispering Woods or facing the Fright Zone.
Yeah.
Spiritina, who the hell came up with that name?
Yeah.
As soon as I heard that, I'm like, what the hell is that? I don't want to say animation glitches, but that's how I wrote it. There are a few animation things in this episode that I just did not care for. There's the scene where the vehicles are coming down the road, and there's one point in it, and maybe I can screen cap it and throw it in the episode post, I don't know yet, where it looks like a two-year-old did it. It doesn't look like there's no definition. There's definition on the vehicles, but there's no definition on the background whatsoever. The background looks like, instead of it being like a three-dimensional background, it looks like a two-dimensional painting. And it just, and I know this is 2D animation, not 3D animation, but it just looks so damn bad. It really does. I'll go back and see if I can find it. What about you?
Just a couple things. I think they kind of glossed over the whole thing with the antidote and how it's distributed to the ships that are then going to fix the Whispering Woods. There's no way they would have got that in all the ships. They basically made it real quick. Like, she takes the samples, she comes up with the antidote within minutes, and then she somehow distributes it to all the ships.
Well, she put it back in the same ship.
Right, but that would have been just ship. So, yeah. But that's just a minor thing you have to kind of accept because you only have so many minutes in a cartoon. And then I wish they would have gone, and unless I missed it, they show and they even make a mention of She-Ra making the dead ends in the grain maze for the vehicles. But they never really show the vehicles being stuck in that or falling for that. So I wish they would have at least ended that kind of humorous aspect by showing them going every which way and not being able to find the way out. So, but again, a minor nitpick. As far as the PSA, treat others how you would want to be treated. The golden rule there. And folks, I'd like to just say for the first time, I spotted Luki and I was very proud of myself. I saw him in this one first time.
Yeah.
What about
yay for you?
What about you with the treat others how you would want to be treated?
Well, of course, like you just said, it's the golden rule. So,
all right,
or one of them anyway.
Well, let's take a break then and come back and see just who earns some hardware for this episode.
Adora, there's something awful happening at the edge of Whispering Woods.
What is it?
Oh, dearie my, I don't know. But it's terrible, awful. You'll have to come quick. I told you it was terrible.
Oh, this is from no natural cause. This is evil magic. The Horde. She-Ra. See, this is Hordak's plan. He poisons the forest at the outer edges where the magic of Whispering Woods is weakest. He means to find our hidden encampment by tracing the magic to its strongest center.
Then Hordak will kill all of Whispering Woods and destroy our homes.
That cough is getting worse, Sparker.
It is. Awards and rankings and ratings and all kinds of official business time. So first, sir, any Horde bats to hand out for the Whispering Woods?
Like I said, I will go back and I will screen cap this and put it in the episode post so you guys can see what the hell I'm talking about. But Horde bat to whomever the hell did the background of the road in the woods. It just looks god-awful. So whoever the hell that animator was, he gets one. Or she, whoever it was. What about you?
Interesting. I have no Horde bats to give out because I apparently missed that. So no nameless people for me getting a Horde bat symbol. What about a protection sword from you?
I'm going to give one to the prince.
Prince?
Wow.
Folks, I think this might be a first. He is giving a good thing to a child character.
Yep.
Prince Zed. I'm writing it down. It's going in blood here. All right. I have two protection swords to give out, one of which is to Madame Raz, because I liked her voice. I like the way she performs, and I like the way that she helped out to save the day here. And I will also give a protection sword out to the entirety of the Whispering Woods, because I think I like the idea that it's not just some area they're living at, but it has a magical protection power to it. And for that reason, it's almost like a character unto itself. So I give a protection sword to the Whispering Woods. How many crystal castles do you give Peril of the Whispering Woods?
Because of the character, I don't want to say depth, but because of the character building you have here, the character because of the characters and not because of the plot, because I'm sorry, poisoning the Whispering, it's just, I know why they're doing it. I understand you've said it several times already, but just the idea that, oh my God, we're going to kill the trees so we can get to the but I'm only going to take 1 point off for that, so it gets 4 out of 5 for me. What about you?
See, I just disagree with you about the plot part. I like that, like I've said multiple times. I think this episode in and of itself could have been drawn out into a 3-part, 4-part, 5-part adventure episode.
No way.
Easily. I think this has has the potential to have been a much bigger episode.
You are delusional.
Nope, I think they could have made multiple attempts to get in the Whispering Woods, which failed, and different things to combat it that would have led to them eventually turning to Shadow Weaver with the poison, and then you could have had a whole episode with Prince Zed being captured and trying to be turned one way or the other. And I think there's a lot to this. I like everything except for the few minor nitpicks I put out in this one. I like the Horde Prime mention, etc. So it's the first time I'll do it, but 5 crystal castles out of 5 for me on this one. I think this is the best episode I've seen so far.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're going to take a break and let Mike compose himself, and then we'll be back with episode 11.
Yeah, well, let's get to Sorrowful's origin.
People of Elberon, to join this day to celebrate our independence.
He's been talking for hours.
I'm bored. Come on, Cowl, let's take a walk.
Ooh, a capital idea.
Freeing towns from the Horde would be a lot more fun without the speeches.
Oh, look, a well. Just the thing for my dry throat. It doesn't look like this well has been used lately.
I don't even see any water. We'll see if there is with this. Just listen for the splash.
Excuse me, friends. Am I in time for the big ceremony?
You sure are. And don't hurry. The mayor's still talking.
Thank you. By the way, you won't get any water out of there. That well was used as a fuel tank by the Horde, so we abandoned it.
Fuel tank?
Just don't drop any matches down there.
Look out!
The old fuel tank's exploded! It'll set the town on fire!
Go, Swifty! There's only one chance. We've got to make enough of a whirlwind to pick up the fire and take it where it can't hurt anyone. Now, Swift Wind! There! That lake!
Next up today is episode 11, The Laughing Dragon, air date of September 23rd, 1985, written by Michael Itvich, as we heard from in our last podcast episode as well. And as Mike tried to sneak in there to say it first, obviously this is the Sorrowful origin story. Bo and Adora meet Sorrowful, the cowardly dragon, Obviously, we had previously seen him in The Prisoners of Beast Island. He journeys with them to Mysticora, where Castaspella tries to use her magic to give him some courage when the Horde begins to attack Mysticora. We have Hordak, Imp, Mantenna, Leech, and Horde Troopers. We have She-Ra, Bo, Castaspella, Cowl, and Swiftwind. And then, of course, we have Sorrowful and the Mayor of Elberon, Mysticora soldiers, and King Gruff. What did you think about the origin story of Sorrowful?
I when I sat down to watch this just before we recorded, I was like, wait, didn't we already see this? Am I watching the wrong episode? What's going on here? And first of all, the name of the episode, The Laughing Dragon, he doesn't laugh a lot in this episode.
Mm-mm. Should have been The Sad Dragon.
Yeah. The Cowardly Dragon.
Something.
Or The Cowardly Lion, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, I mean, I like this, but again, it feels like they gave him, he got courage at the end of the last episode he was in. And now, you know.
Well, you have to view these in the order they should have been. You have to view this as the first episode.
I know, but we didn't. So we're just going to have to friggin' deal with it. We didn't. So it's one of those things where...
You can't hold it against it that they aired them in the wrong order.
Oh, well, sure I can. It's kind of like Sam Witwicky. They give him all this character at the end of each of the goddamn Transformers movies, and then the next friggin' movie, the very beginning of it, they take away the damn character development. It's the same thing that happened here with Sorrowful.
He had character development in any of those movies?
Some. Okay. Not much.
Anyways,
some.
I view this as it should have been. This is the origin story. This is the first time we see Sorrowful. This is the first time we see Mysticora, Castaspella, etc. So as far as an introduction to all this, it's fine. As far as the dragon aspect, though, after seeing the dragons that we saw in Eternia, this is definitely a step down. I couldn't find myself connecting to Sorrowful or caring anything about this dragon at all. So maybe if it was a character I cared more about, the story would work better. But as for me, it's just a random place that a dragon is involved with that the Horde is attacking. And I needed something to make me care.
Mm-hmm.
So plot-wise, it didn't do much for me here. It's just kind of a generic episode of the day plot.
Yep, pretty much.
All right, well, let's see if we can find anything good to say about this episode, though, as we make our way back to the Whispering Woods. It's been repaired. It's good to go now.
Dragon, I've had it.
Please don't be angry.
You can speak?
Of course. So can you.
But I'm a man. Now tell me, what's this all about?
but you are angry. Oh, please don't hurt me.
What do you mean, please don't hurt me? You're a dragon.
Oh, but I'm afraid of everything. I'm even afraid of you. Isn't that silly?
What is that supposed to mean? Do you have any idea who you're dealing with, dragon?
Oh, whoever you are, you sure have a pretty dress.
That's true. Bo, you've never looked so lovely.
All right, we're back at Whispering Woods. I only have a couple things to say before I turn it over to Mike. First of all, I like that we figure out, number one, that this person's name is Castaspella. They say it right away. They introduce her as the Queen of Mysticora. Okay, I'm on board. I know what's going on. I know what this place is. I know who's in charge of it. I know who this character is. Good. I wish that would have happened in the other episode. And I also am a fan of Leech's voice. You know, I've talked about how a lot of characters in this episode, in this series, have certain aspects to their voice that they add in, whether it be Hordak and his snorting, whether it be Catra and her meowing, whether it be Mantenna and what he does. Leech has one as well. Leech, though, is on the side for me that I like. So I like mm-hmm. the effect of his voice. So what do you have?
That's it?
That's all I got.
You like
sorry.
About the wow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a very ass-backwards episode because I have more Whispering Wood moments than I do Right Zone moments. So
let's hear it. What was good that I missed? We've
essentially flip-flopped. Cowell got the door slammed in his face. we've already gone down the road about, I made a note about, this is the first appearance of Sorrowful.
Right.
Bo in a dress. That's just fucking hilarious. I'm sorry it is.
If he wasn't emasculated enough in the series so far.
Cowardly Lion, anyone? The villains make this episode. I just love seeing them. Like, because we... In He-Man, we might have gotten an episode with Skeletor, Beastman, and Evil-Lyn, but they never really did... I mean, they did do stuff, but, like, how often did we see in He-Man Evil-Lyn, Beastman, Trapjaw, Triclops, like, all together trying to stop or trying to do something to Eternia, whereas... with the villains in the Horde, it's like, hey, everybody's here. It's a party. Let's go.
Right.
Can we talk about Leech for a minute here?
Yeah, I already did, so go for it.
We know Leech's hands have the suction power to drain energy.
Right.
But what about his feet? I mean, seriously, his feet have to be the same such suction cups.
Yeah,
it's just so funny.
I like it.
All right, let's head on over to the Fright Zone. I've only got one thing here.
Go for it.
And I'm sure you've got plenty more after this. So, and I'm sure this is probably going to be one of yours. Well, He-Man can move water out of thin air. I guess it's only fair and it makes sense that She-Ra can move fire.
Bullshit.
What?
No, I agree that it's in your Fright Zone moment, but that is absolutely, absolutely retarded. First time this series that we're seeing something as dumb. The writers in this show just don't care about nature and physics and anything like that. They just don't. Like, there was a million things that they could have done with She-Ra's power to help that out, but... First off, we have to buy that wind is going to pick up a fire. All right? Wind does two things with fire. Oxygen does two things with fire. It spreads it or it snuffs it. If there is no oxygen. If there is oxygen, it spreads it. It definitely doesn't pick it up. Especially, it'd be different if it was like, okay, let's say it was something that was burning, like a piece of wood, mm-hmm. a pile of sticks, a bunch of brush, or some grass. It'd be different right. if the wind was then picking up the item that was on fire and moving it. Then I would have no problem with it because it would...
But just picking up the fire itself.
But picking up a fire, not just fire itself, but fire that is coming from a well of fuel. So the source yeah. is in the ground. You can't pick up the oil that is in the well, on the sides of the well, at the bottom of the well. That's where the fire is coming from. So that just made me... I wanted to throw something. I'm sorry, continue.
No, that's all I... It's the one note okay. that I took, so take it away.
Why would Imp transform into a ball to travel long distances? If he can transform into a bunch of stuff, I gotta question his intelligence to transform into a bouncy ball to somehow get from one area to the other. I was
just waiting for a bouncy castle to show up.
I said something good about the voice work in The Whispering Woods. I liked Leech's voice. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something bad about it in the Fright Zone, and that's I hate Castispella's voice. It does not match her appearance. You hear, if you were to hear Castispella's voice, you're going to think someone older, someone like the age of Queen Marlena, the sorceress, somebody...
Or, what's her name? The queen.
Queen Angela?
No. From He-Man. The one that Skeletor made evil.
Yeah, somebody like that. You're going to picture her as somebody old, but when they show her, she looks the same age as She-Ra, as...
Catra.
You know, yeah, as a lot of these people. It just doesn't match for me. And then Bo, with the dumbest line of the episode... He actually says, as brave and gallant as I. You're fucking wearing a dress in this episode. Shut the hell up. Alright, sorry. PSA and final thoughts. It was about courage, I think. I really...
The courage is inside us all, people.
Something like that. But on a side note, 2 for 2 for me today. I spotted him again, so...
Okay.
I'm going to annoy people to death with that. I don't care.
I just don't care. I don't even care to look. Right. I'm making my own executive decision, people. You'll never hear a Lukey PSA in this podcast as long as we're doing She-Ra, because I refuse to get the audio for it.
Yes, I like his voice. Anyways, we're going to take a break, not just in case you haven't come to your own decision on what we felt about the episode. We're going to tell you when we come back.
It's not often that you find a dragon who wants to be friendly.
Oh, I haven't much choice. You see, I'm afraid of everything.
Not everything?
Oh, yes, I am. You name it, I'm afraid of it. Frankly, it's very embarrassing.
My name is Adora. Who are you?
Oh, my name is Sorrowful.
Well, Sorrowful, I'd like to be your friend.
You what?
That is, providing you don't go running around tearing up the town. Dragons have been known to do that, you know.
That tickles.
I don't believe it. You're ticklish?
Stop it! Oh, stop it! I can't stand it!
How about here?
That's the worst! That's no use. I'll never be a real dragon. I'm a joke. A clown. Believe me, I'm a disgrace.
No, you're not. You're the nicest dragon I've ever met.
And you're the nicest person I've ever met. Do you think you could help me find a sorceress who could give me some courage, huh?
Maybe Casta Spella could help you.
Casta who?
Casta Spella, Queen of Mysticore. I bet she can help you find your courage.
Is she scary?
Not at all. I'm sure she'd like to be your friend, too.
I'll go with you to Mysticore to make sure nothing happens on the way.
But when it does, and this gallivanting gallant turns to run, I'll stand at your side to protect you.
Let's go to Mysticore.
Oh, you're all such good friends to do this for me. I just hope it works.
All right, it's time for Horde Bats, Protection Swords, and Crystal Castles for this episode. I will start off. Horde Bats. To the writers, producers, anybody behind the scenes, for two things. Number one, continuing with your dumb writing when it comes to nature. And number two, for airing these episodes out of order.
I'll give them one for airing the episodes out of order. But I also have to slap She-Ra upside the head with a Horde Bat.
She-Ra!
Fire, yep.
All right. First time that she's got a Horde Bat.
She's the one that moved it. I mean, yeah, it was the writer's horrible, you know, decision making, but yeah.
How about good things? Protection swords. Anybody? Nobody?
I don't know why, but I wrote it down like, I'll give one to Bo for dressing in drag.
That's a good thing, I guess, in Mike's book. We all know something about Mike now.
You look at today's society and that's, you know, the cultural norm, and back then it really wasn't. but I will give another one to Sorrowful for finally getting his courage, and hopefully this time they can keep that characterization and not take it away from him again.
And I have no protection swords to give out. Nobody earned one in my book, so I will keep mine in my trophy case until later. As far as Crystal Castles, how many do you give the laughing dragon that doesn't laugh?
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, he says. 3 out of 5. I'm a little taken aback.
But, okay, the reason why I'm giving 3 out of 5 is because, as I said, I had one Fright Zone moment, and I had, like, 7 different Whispering Wood moments. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the last episode, or the last episode of the last podcast where I said Cal was being too goddamn negative... Cowl getting the door slammed in his face just made me laugh so hard.
We have Bo being an arrogant prick. We have Imp turning himself into a bouncy ball. We have Wind picking up fire from a well of fuel. We have an episode titled Laughing Dragon for a character that never laughs. We have an episode that aired out of order that makes no sense if you see it this direction. There's literally... nothing good, except for that we get introduced to Casta Spella and the Queen of Mysticore, even though we've already seen her. This one gets 1 Crystal Castle out of 5. 1.
All right, let's move on to the first crossover episode of the series.
of the Hall of Kings. Before you are paintings of all the kings to rule Eternia before King Randor. King Eldon the Wise, King Volnar the Bold, King Freenorn the Strong.
Who's this?
Ah, now that is King Muro. King Muro, Randor's father, first disappeared when Prince Adam was only a child. No one knew what had happened to him. Then recently, He-Man and King Randor released him from the spell of the Enchantress, and he now walks among the people of Eternia, a fine king.
Oh, I don't know. He wasn't so smart. After all, he did let the Enchantress capture him, didn't he?
Oh, yeah? Who are you to criticize King Muro?
Who else but King Muro?
Oh, Your Majesty. Your Highness. I'm sorry. I had no idea.
Quite all right. I'm here to see my grandson, Prince Adam. Could you have him meet me in the courtyard?
Of course, Your Highness. Of course.
It's true then, Adam? You've really found my granddaughter?
Yes, sire. But Adora is still a long way away, on another world called Etheria.
I must see her. After all these years, can you take me to her?
Well, with the help of the sorceress, yes, I think she'd be more than happy to help us get to Etheria.
It's been so long since I've seen Adora. Why, she was just a baby. I wonder what she looks like now.
Well, how do I look?
Oh, absolutely awful. Oh, dearie my, yes. Yes, totally terrible. Depressingly dreadful. Oh, badly bad.
Yeah, it makes her look like a horde trooper.
Well, that's what I said, wasn't it? You can't get much worse than that.
Well, the helmet's a little banged up, but it'll do. But maybe it'll help our feathered friend here remember what he saw. So if you'll be good enough to put this on for a moment.
Oh, dearie my. I can't see anything with this helmet on.
In that case, maybe you should wear it when we're flying. It might help our landings.
You know what would help our landings even more?
What?
A new broom.
All right, you two. Now stop joking. We've got work to do. And since only She-Ra can talk to the animals...
For the honor of Grayskull!
I think we're ready. Come on, little friend. Let's see if you can understand me now.
And finally up today, we have episode 12, King Muro's Journey. Air date of September 24th, 1985. Written by J. Michael Straczynski. A welcome back name and face from our days in Eternia. And
finally, a good writer.
And as Mike continues to try to steal my thunder, this is, of course, the crossover episode for the first time. I didn't know this happened. I kind of thought it might, but I didn't know, and now we have it here. So Adam, Prince Adam from Eternia, from He-Man, takes his grandfather, King Muro, to Etheria to meet his granddaughter, Adora. But the rebels are undermanned and in trouble as Horde Inspector Darkney wants to erect a dome over the entire Whispering Woods. So for the second time today, the Whispering Woods is a target of the Horde. Horde members, we have Hordak, Shadow Weaver, Mantenna, the Horde Troopers, and of course, Inspector Darkney. And for members of the Rebellion, we have She-Ra, Madam Raz, Spirit Sprague, Spiritina, Broom, and of course, King Muro and He-Man. What did you think about our first crossover episode and how they set it up?
I loved it. It was awesome. I wasn't sure how, because... I just wasn't sure how they were going to be able to do it. And I knew from when we watched He-Man that King Muro was Randor's father, you know, so I'm like, oh, so that, you know, as soon as I saw the title, I'm like, oh, yep, Adam's going to be in this one, no doubt. But I absolutely loved it. And I don't know what it is, folks. Ever since I was a kid, 30 years ago watching The Secret of the Sword to even today, every time I see the double transformation, I do something that you absolutely hate when animation does it. I essentially do the single tear because it just makes me so freaking happy to see the two of them do, you know, the transformation scenes back to back. Just absolutely love it.
I was hoping for a split screen of them doing it at the same time.
Oh, that would have been awesome. The only thing that was missing from this was Cringer.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. Because she points it at Spirit.
Yeah.
At Swiftwind, and we don't get Cringer involved. So, yeah, that was kind of a letdown. But, yeah, I like the idea. I'll get into why I like it more so when we get to Whispering Woods. But I just like the idea of a crossover in general. It comes down to execution and can you execute it right. But the whole idea of, hey, we're going to have a crossover episode with people from Eternia and people from Etheria, if you say that as the first part of an episode, I'm on board. Mm-hmm. So I'm on board for the plot synopsis. And then after that, I'm just looking to see how they actually execute it. But definitely, definitely on board anytime we have a crossover.
The one thing I'll say about the plot, it's not really a negative or a positive. Hordak mentions King Miro. I once knew a King Miro. He kind of is like, oh, that couldn't be the same guy. And I almost wish, and I know there was no time to do this, but I almost wish we had some sort of little mini flashback or some sort of little mini, like,
well, I think it goes Hordak's... back to originally how King Miro became, how he disappeared originally.
Right,
and that we have
right.
to assume that Hordak was part of that, part of the setup or the setting that led to that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just wish there was a couple of more lines of dialogue.
Yeah, I can see that. The only part of the plot, and maybe I would raise some type of question, is Inspector Darkney. I don't know if they needed to call him an inspector, and if they had to go that whole route, or if they could have just said it was Horde Prime's agent. Or, you know, someone under him. The idea that he's coming to inspect things is weird, especially when they also go as far to say that he's going to inspect what's going on with the rebellion or something, too. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. So that was my only hesitation when it comes to that.
I think, I'm not criticizing J. Michael Straczynski, obviously, here, but I don't think it was said in the episode well. Like, I don't know if they said actually what he wrote, but I think what they meant was that he was there to inspect Hordak's failure or success.
Right. It made him seem like he was just a regular inspector. He's going to inspect this part of Etheria, go inspect this part of Etheria, make sure everything's going right. And it's like, this is just weird. Like, but
this is just not up to code. Exactly. You can't do this anymore.
You can't
have copper wiring. You know,
you can't
it's like,
do that. Like,
it's like,
I don't know, but
it's time for Mike Holmes on HGTV.
I guess. We're going to take a break though, but I have a feeling we're going to have a few things to talk about when we get to the Whispering Woods on this one.
Well, sire, here we are. Etheria.
You there. Darkside Forest is off-limits. You are trespassing, citizens.
Sorry. We'll be heading out now.
Sorry isn't good enough. Perhaps you'll dance for us, huh?
I am afraid I'll have to turn down your request for a dance.
Then you will kneel before me.
King Miro kneels before no one.
King Miro, is it? Never heard of him.
You will now. We'll see.
I suggest we move on before they get their footing.
Oh, very well, Adam.
I'll get them. No, follow them. Tell me where they go. I'm just glad that Hordak can't see this.
Don't count on it. I asked for trained troopers, and Horde Prime sends me a bunch of clowns.
Hordak, that's the third view screen you've blasted this month. When the inspector arrives, he won't like that.
Bah! The inspector. I have enough to do. deal with without worrying about inspectors. They are a nuisance. This whole planet is a nuisance.
You know, at Horn Academy, they told us you should laugh at trouble. All the best, I mean the worst evil villains, are always laughing.
Yes. Perhaps it would be easier if I could laugh at this. And since it was your idea, you can be responsible for it. Don't argue with me! So, Mantenna, go ahead. Make me laugh. Not funny. Perhaps if you moved a little to your left.
And these are the Whispering Woods, which means we're almost there.
Good. I can barely wait to see my granddaughter.
So, now to follow them into Whispering Woods. Perhaps they will lead us to the rebels.
Oh, dearie boy! The inspector's here! I saw a ship!
I say, can't we slow down just a bit?
No! He's here! He's here! We have to tell the others!
All right, and then we'll...
Razzler! Razzler!
Dang! You see? A perfect one-point landing. Oh, dear. He's here! I saw the ship! Oh, and look who else is here.
Adam, you're here. How wonderful. I'm so glad to see you.
Hello, Adora. I have a surprise for you. I want you to meet King Nero, your grandfather.
My grandfather?
I've dreamed of this moment for years. There is so much I want to tell you.
And there are so many things I want to ask. Oh, it's so good to see you both. I only wish we didn't have a problem on our hands.
It's the Horde Inspector. We saw his ship coming in.
And whatever he wants here, it'll be trouble for someone. Oh, dearie my. Probably us.
For the last time, we're visiting the Whispering Woods, who once again are a target in this episode. It's a danger, it's a threat to the Horde, so we have to insecticide them, pesticide them, we have to put a dome over them, but we're here, we're safe at the moment. What good things did this episode bring out?
I wish, and again, I know time, but looking back on this episode after I just watched it before we recorded, I wish we had the entire royal, like in Secret of the Sword, we had the entire royal family. We had Teela, Man-at-Arms, the King, the Queen, Adam, and Adora. I wish we had Miro, Randor, Marlena, Adam, and Adora together, but I understand why they weren't. But
I could see maybe awesome. King Randor just would have the generations going, but yeah. I don't need to see all of them.
Well, you know, like, you know, Randor's father, Miro, returns, and we see Adam. Yay! I love Madame Razz and Broom. They're like an old married couple.
Every time I see Broom, I think of Beauty and the Beast. I just figure he's the character. He's like a character straight from Beauty and the Beast.
Why is it that the Horde Inspector reminds me of Walter Peck, and I'm just waiting for Peter Venkman to show up and make fun of that guy?
Yeah.
And this is something that we can do a counter on if we want to. This is the very first time, the entire series, that Spirit actually talks. He was not Swiftwind when he talked in this at first. He was not transformed. It was Spirit. Because he was talking to Adora. That was interesting to me. I thought that was kind of cool because I didn't think that the horse as Spirit could talk, because up until now he's only made horse noises.
Interesting. I must have just assumed it was because he did talk in a different episode, but it must have been as the other version. Mm-hmm. So, alrighty then.
What about you?
Oh, I got a lot of things. So buckle your seatbelts and take get something to drink. But the beginning, the opening with the Hall of Kings and the Eternia lineage, like. Eldin the Wise and Volnar the Bold and King Miro and Randor and all the different kings there. I thought that was super awesome from a historical standpoint, from just kind of seeing that, you know, there's a long history of kings of Eternia, etc. I loved that. I wish we would have saw the Hall of Kings when we were actually in Eternia back in He-Man days. And of course, the crossover and seeing He-Man, the double transfer, dual transformation, whatever you want to call it, that's all awesome. We get introduced or reintroduced to the fact that we have a Dr. She-Little. Not Dr. Doolittle, but Dr. She-Little, because She-Ra can talk to the animals. And I thought that was interesting the way they did that, how she had to turn into She-Ra so she could talk to the animal, but that she can't do that as Princess Adora. I think that's interesting that they made that, you know, stark comparison that she has to be She-Ra to do that. This is, again, like I had mentioned earlier in today's episodes, this is when we really get to see the Horde Troopers again act like they had some self-awareness and some form of making their own decisions. They're realize that they messed up. They're trying to go and capture and make up for it. They get lost. They're frustrated. They have almost Three Stooges moments. So I liked all that. I think it was a decent idea to put them under a dome. Like...
Yeah, it was.
I'm not saying you did, but I'm just saying, like, you know, typically it's just like a device of the week or this is what we're going to do now, but I like this. You know, the Whispering Woods is a source of frustration. We've tried multiple different things. Well, why not just shut them off from everything, keep them in there instead of trying to let us get in there? So I like that idea, under the dome. And then they mentioned Devlin, which is going to mean nothing to anybody else. But because I'm the one that puts the scripts together, and I've put a couple of scripts, future scripts together already, that I found interesting because Devlin is in the title of one of the episodes coming up. So the fact that they mention that now adds some continuity to how it'll play in later on.
Well, on Hulu.com and their order of the episodes, Devlin happened before.
Right, so that would have some reference to how what was happening with other characters, etc. So a lot of things to like in this episode. As far as Fright Zone moments, I don't understand why at the beginning of the episode the intro song gets over. They show Fright Zone for like a second. And then they go to the Hall of Kings in Eternia. I don't understand why they showed Fright Zone right there. That seemed weird.
Did they show the Fright Zone or was it the title card?
No, it was just like right after the title card and then Fright Zone for a second and then to Eternia. It was weird. The Horde Inspector, I already mentioned, it just seemed a little bit of an odd choice. Horde Academy?
The troopers got to learn somewhere.
This is Mantenna talking about in Horde Academy. What? There's no Horde Academy, folks. Let's not fool ourselves.
Oh, come on. You know there's a Horde Academy with a Steve Guttenberg and a Hightower. And,
something like that.
You know.
That's exactly the intelligence level of all these people. King Miro needed a better outfit. Why is he doing this whole episode in his robe? He's just like running around there and it seems like he's in a bathrobe almost. He needs a more sophisticated, kingly outfit. And then... She-Ra gets to the edge of the dome or her and He-Man or something like that, and He-Man somehow sees the dome and is like, oh, we're under a big dome, and she goes and that is the crystal dome generator over there. How the F would she know what that was? Is this just like there's been commercials for it on Etheria on all the TVs for this crystal dome generator and she's like, oh, they got one? No, like, she should have no clue what device is creating this dome and that to be able to identify that. So I had a problem with that. What about you? Any Fright Zone moments?
I'll agree with yours, but I didn't write anything down. I was just too happy to see Adam and He-Man and all that stuff. I absolutely love this. Because, again, for me, this episode isn't about the plot of how Hordak is going to trap them. It's more about the lineage, about, you know, their grandfather finally getting to see the granddaughter and all this and all that. Like, that's what that was, you know, that's what it was for me. So, yeah, no.
I love the PSA in this one. Family, working together as a team, and the importance of family, that's the best team that you're ever going to have. I really like that, and stressing that to kids of how important working together as a family can be at times. Unfortunately, I did not get the hat trick. I did not see him in this one, so I was only 2 out of 3 today. Only 2 out of 3 today. Any other thoughts as far as the PSA goes or anything like that?
Nope.
All right. Well, it's obvious what your rank is for this episode, but we got to do the business. So let's take a break and get the official rankings in.
We can use the help. We'll strike at dawn. Meanwhile, I'll put the Twiggets on watch and... By the way, where are the Twiggets?
Oh, they're busy. Two more troopers wandered into Whispering Woods.
This way. Now that way. The other way. No, we came that way. If I didn't know better, I'd swear the trees were moving. This way.
We will strike the rebels at dawn here.
Ha! The Whispering Woods cannot be penetrated. Don't you think we've tried?
Yes, but there is another way. If we can't get in, then the next best thing is to keep them from getting out.
A crystal dome.
Absolutely indestructible. I have a larger generator in my ship, big enough to surround Whispering Woods. The rebels will be our prisoners. A simple solution, Hordak. I'm sure you'd have thought of it yourself. In a few years...
All right, for the last time today, last opportunity to hand out hardware. I only have one thing to hand out, and that is a protection sword, and that goes to King Miro, because he's not just He-Man's grandfather. He is able to kick some butt and take names, even at his age. And I'm specifically talking about right at the beginning where he goes at it with the Horde troopers, and then Adam's eventually like, we need to get out of here. And he's like, okay, if you insist. I was ready to kick some butt, but so I like King Miro in this episode, even if he is running around in a bathrobe the entire time. So what about you? Any Horde bats or protection swords?
No Horde bats. Protection swords for Miro, She-Ra, He-Man.
Oh, Jesus.
Madame Razz and Broom.
That is, you don't have that you're running out of.
No, I'm not.
You only have so many to give out.
No.
You're going to run out by the end of the series.
No. Well, duh, the series will be done by then.
So you're giving out 5 protection swords.
Miro, He-Man, She-Ra, Madame Razz, and Broom.
Yep. That's the record.
Well, you know, we're always setting records around here.
All right, as far as episode ratings, you give this one 5 out of 5.
Pretty much, yeah.
I will give this one 4.5 out of 5. 4.5 out of 5. I have to take a half point off for some of those things. Horde Inspector, Horde Academy, Crystal Dome Generator being identified by She-Ra, and not giving King Miro some better damn clothes. Get the Emperor some new groove, some new clothes. But so 4.5 and a 5, we end this episode on a very high note. We'll be right back with our final thoughts.
Make me laugh.
Say, why did the rebel cross the road?
To get to the other side.
You've heard it.
Now that is funny.
Well, did you enjoy your first night on Etheria?
Yes, I had a splendid night's sleep.
Yeah, and a good thing, too. We've got a long day ahead of us.
Longer than you think, Adam.
Hordak and that inspector, they've surrounded Whispering Woods.
All right. Madam, Broom, you take the North Forest path with Miro. Adam and I will take the South Road.
Right!
You two keep an eye out. Report if you see anything else.
Well, sister, shall we,
After you, brother.
By the power of Grayskull!
I am She-Ra.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at GeekCast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game like Fact or Fiction or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy, who will win in a fight, taking too far, crazy but true news, or...
Yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions, every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com, the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
I, Starscream, have taken over Transformers Prime Time. Call me Lord.
No, Starscream, we will not call you Lord, but we will announce that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get into the TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Peacon Court Michael as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and more. All in the latest Transformers review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network, you can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. And remember,
one shall stand and one shall fall.
We are back. And before we close it out, anything you want to say, anything you want to get off your chest before, because this is the final episode before we hit 50.
Dun, dun, dun. We're that far already?
Yep.
Jeepers, folks. Episode 50 coming up. That's, like, pretty outstanding.
It took us 4 years, but yeah.
I mean, we're ending on a good note here, because if you look at it today, I gave a 5 out, you gave a 5 out, I gave a 4.5 out, you gave a 4 out. If you take out the Laughing Dragon, this was a real positive episode. And we got our first crossover episode, which I'm liking. And I think there's going to be a few more coming down the pipe real soon. And I can't wait to see how they continue to interact with the people that we knew from Eternia. I didn't know that was going to be something that happens as often as I feel like it's about to happen. So I'm excited.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
Because, and the only reason why...
Because you've already watched the whole series ahead of time.
No, I have not. The only reason why I know this is because when the original BCI DVD sets came out, I had them and I watched the special features. And in some of those special features, Larry DiTilio and a couple of the other people said, yes, we wanted this to be the girls' show. Yes, it is He-Man's twin sister. But at the same time, everybody still wanted to see He-Man from time to time. So that's one of the reasons why I know. So thank you for listening to Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other podcasts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pal of Grayskull. Mine is TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. There's a 5-minute time limit. We hope you enjoyed the mist today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next... No, we won't, actually.
Fuck.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're supposed to change that shit.
Well, you're adding whatever you want anyway, so...
No, I'm not. I only added the voicemail thing in
there. When has anybody called that thing?
Still leave the option in. Anyway. 3/14 edit. We hope you enjoyed the mist today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will be celebrating 30-some-odd years, 32, 33-odd years of the toys of Masters of the Universe. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
The one and only Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
We made it! We're free of Whispering Woods! We're free!
Out of my way!
Oh, no. Here we go again.
Do you have to go? It seems as if you only just got here.
I'm afraid so. But I'll come again as soon as I can. Adora, these have been the most exciting days I've ever had. And though I must now return to Eternia, I want you to know that I will return. When the day of your great battle with Hordak comes, call for me. I wish to stand beside my granddaughter on that proud day.
I promise.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go!
You have quite a family.
Yes, we do. We're very lucky. Come on, Spirit. Let's ride. Let's see how fast you can go.
Would you not rather fly?
Not today, dear Spirit. I'm afraid we'd run into my heart.
Ah, so your heart flies.
It's soaring, Spirit. Soaring!
Bye now, see you next time!
For